As Christians, we believe in a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. And it is that God to whom we have entrusted those that we've loved and lost. One of my favourite gospel passages is the account in John of the death and resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus, who is God, is visibly distraught at the death of his friend and the mourning of his sisters Mary and Martha. But Jesus is right there with the people who are suffering and dying, standing alongside them, teaching them and giving them strength and hope and comfort. And just as he was with Mary and Martha, so he is with us today as we remember our loved ones. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows what it's like to suffer. And he stands in solidarity with us, with tears rolling down his cheeks. But that's not all he does. He gives us hope. Jesus said to Lazarus' sister, "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you'll never die." Do you believe this? And it's that hope which the Apostle Paul attempts to articulate in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm perhaps being a little bit unfair to the Apostle when I say he attempts to articulate. However, this is one of those Pauline passages which can be a bit challenging to untangle. And even for Paul, the concept of resurrection is difficult to grasp and difficult to explain. And so he likens it to something that his readers would be familiar with, the act of planting a seed. In fact, it's a metaphor that Jesus used when he spoke of his own death in John 12. "Truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Paul writes that the seed which is planted becomes something very different. A grain of wheat doesn't remain a grain of wheat, it becomes a big stalk. An acorn doesn't remain an acorn, it becomes a huge oak tree. And so it is, Paul asserts, with our bodies. Verse 42, "The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." After the resurrection, we will still be recognisably ourselves, but our bodies will no longer be susceptible to pain, no longer susceptible to illness or injury, are no longer susceptible to death. Paul's purpose in writing this is to reassure the Christians in Corinth of the truth and the hope of the Christian gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most of those Corinthian Christians who had been Jews almost certainly didn't believe in an afterlife at all. And those who had followed the Greco-Roman gods would have had quite an unpleasant understanding of what happens after death, with Hades and the underworld. Just as those early Christians needed that reassurance, so do we today. Because our culture tries to tell us that we're wrong. And not just wrong, but that we're completely and utterly mad to believe what we believe. "Jesus wasn't resurrected, and neither will we be," is what the world tries to tell us. There is a sort of good side to that, in that it encourages some people to live life to the max. YOLO, you only live once. Therefore, live your best life. The downside, however, is that for many people, life then becomes hopeless and pointless. If this is all there is, then what is the point? God gives us hope that there is a point, that there is a purpose. There is more than this fleeting life on earth. There is more than pain and suffering and death. There is hope for eternal life in the spiritual bodies, which Paul articulates here in Corinthians. I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial or a little surprising, but I felt the need to say it. A bit earlier in 1 Corinthians, Paul is absolutely clear that the spouse and children of a Christian believer are sanctified even if they don't believe for themselves. 1 Corinthians 7:14, for the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his believing wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. Perhaps someone needed to hear that. Now, you may be utterly convinced of that Christian hope. You may be utterly unwavering in your belief that your loved ones are with God, and one day you will be reunited with them. But that doesn't mean that you won't miss them. Doesn't mean that any suffering they experienced before they passed doesn't upset you. Doesn't mean that anything you said or did which hurt them doesn't occasionally still hurt you. A few weeks ago, my son Nat was doing a school project on the Royal Air Force in World War II. My granddad was in the Royal Air Force in World War II and was absolutely mad about planes. And it saddened me that we couldn't just chat with him and ask him about his experiences. It saddened me that I hadn't really put enough time and effort into speaking to my granddad when he was alive. And no doubt we all have regrets like that about those we have loved and lost. The Bible doesn't shy away from the realities of life, from the sadness, from the pain of loss. We're encouraged to mourn, we're encouraged to lament. Not to obsessively grieve and never to recover, but to remember, to honour, to miss, and to hope for those we have loved and lost. For no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love.